In the brutal Martial Empire, scholars exist as little more than slaves, living under the constant threat of torture and execution. For 5 centuries, this militaristic regime has crushed all resistance, transforming a once proud civilization of knowledge into a subjugated underclass, forbidden from reading or writing. At the heart of this oppression stands Blackcliff Military Academy, where elite soldiers called masks are forged through unimaginable cruelty. Public executions are entertainment. Students are forced to watch deserters whipped to death. And the architecture itself, walls lined with iron spikes, reflects the Empire's ethos of domination. Yet beneath this rigid structure, whispers of resistance persist. And as ancient forces begin to stir, mysterious augurs with prophetic powers, vengeful djinn seeking retribution, the Empire's dominance may not be as absolute as it appears. What happens when those raised to enforce tyranny begin to question the very system that created them? I am a coward. This refrain haunts Lya from the moment we meet her, fleeing during a raid while her brother Darren is captured by martial forces. Consumed by guilt and desperate to save her last remaining family member, Lya begins her journey not with heroic ambition, but with desperate love. As the Commandant's slave at Blackcliff, she endures horrific abuse, beatings, brandings, constant degradation. Yet something within her hardens rather than breaks with each new trauma. The turning point comes when she discovers the resistance has manipulated her, using her merely as a distraction while lying about helping her brother. This betrayal catalyzes her transformation. I no longer want someone else to save me. I must take action myself. What makes Lya's evolution so compelling is that her courage doesn't emerge from fearlessness, but from acting despite her fear. By the novel's climax, when she orchestrates an explosion to disrupt an execution, she has transformed from someone who runs from danger to someone who charges directly into it, driven by love and newfound determination. Unlike Lya's growing courage, Elias Veturius begins as physically brave, but morally conflicted. The Empire's finest soldier secretly loathes what it stands for, planning to desert after graduation. I'd rather die than become like her, he thinks of his mother, the Commandant, revealing his core struggle between training and conscience. The trials force Elias to confront impossible choices, especially when ordered against his friends. I led my men to slaughter, murdered my friends, nearly killed Helene. When the final trial demands he execute Lya to prove loyalty, he refuses, accepting potential death rather than crossing that moral line. Helene embodies loyal unto death. As Blackcliff's only female student, she's earned respect through exceptional skill. Her deepest conflict involves her unspoken feelings for Elias. When he faces execution, she bargains with the augurs, swearing fealty to whoever wins the trials to save his life. This oath binds her to Elias's enemy while she dreams of reforming the Empire from within. In the novel's climax, Helene returns Elias's weapons and helps him escape, though warning they'll become enemies. This action perfectly captures her essence, torn between competing loyalties, finding small ways to honor both. Caris Vittoria, the Commandant of Blackcliff, stands as one of the most chilling antagonists in contemporary fantasy. Her power lies not in supernatural abilities, but in calculated cruelty and psychological manipulation. With pale gray eyes like chips of ice that seem to look right through you, she embodies the Empire's values taken to their logical extreme. Discipline without mercy, strength without compassion, loyalty only to power. What makes the Commandant truly terrifying is her strategic brilliance behind the sadism. She brands Lya with her initial, marking her as property. She carves up Cook's face and forces her to swallow hot coals for attempting to poison her. These acts aren't merely punitive, but deliberately designed to break her victim psychologically. As Cook explains, she doesn't just want your obedience, she wants your spirit. Her manipulation extends to Empire politics, orchestrating the Emperor's assassination to ensure her favored candidate takes the throne. In her perfect control and utter lack of empathy, she represents not just individual evil, but the systemic cruelty of the empire itself. Beneath the political conflicts runs a deeper current of supernatural forces. The Augurs, 14 ageless beings with the ability to read minds and glimpse the future, operate as kingmakers and enforcers of the empire's traditions. Their cryptic prophecies about Elias, featuring prominently in their visions, a thread of silver in a tapestry of night, drive much of the plot, yet their true motivations remain enigmatic. More ancient than the Augurs are the Djinn, immortal creatures of sinless, smokeless fire with vast knowledge. Cook's tale reveals how the Scholar Empire's attempt to enslave the Djinn led to their downfall, with only the Nightbringer escaping imprisonment, driven mad by his failure to save his people. His alliance with the Marshals led to the destruction of the Scholar Empire, suggesting the current political situation stems from ancient supernatural conflicts. Shadow creatures called Ghouls feed on human sorrow, appearing in moments of extreme distress. Helene's unexpected healing abilities hint at yet another supernatural dimension. Together, these elements create a world where the supernatural and political are inextricably intertwined, with ancient grudges shaping present conflicts. What price are we willing to pay for freedom, and what compromises can we make before losing what we're fighting for? Each character confronts this dilemma differently. Elias refuses to execute Lya, choosing death over moral compromise, yet earlier order his men to kill friends during the third trial. This contradiction raises the question of whether morality can survive within an immoral system. Lya begins with clear moral boundaries, but gradually accepts more ambiguous actions for her brother's survival. She spies, endangers Izzy, and causes deaths at Elias's execution. Each step transforms her. Even the resistance compromises. Mazin manipulates Lya for eventual liberation, yet these actions ultimately serve the Commandant's plans. As the novel concludes, Lya and Elias escape into the catacombs, taking their first steps into darkness, into freedom. This image captures the paradox. Freedom often begins not with triumph, but uncertainty, not with light, but darkness. Yet within this darkness, hope persists. Characters maintain small flames of resistance against overwhelming oppression. Lya's determination, Elias's conscience, Helene's reform dreams. The novel offers no easy resolution. Darren remains imprisoned, Marcus becomes emperor, and dangers lie ahead. Yet by choosing to act despite these challenges, they show that hope isn't about certainty of success, but refusing to accept defeat as inevitable. Liberation is a journey through darkness, guided by persistent embers, that with courage might someday become flames.